Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with all of you today. The marvel of technology continues on to broadcast around the world on the internet. Wow, what an amazing blessing it is. While we have power, while we have an electrical grid, while we are able to work, because we are told in John chapter 9, and Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, when that nighttime comes, when no man can work, I hope that you are a wise virgin and you are getting your oil supply now. Because in the midnight season, when all the virgins are going to awake and trim their lamps, there are going to be those that have oil for the journey ahead, which means they will have light in the midst of the darkness, and the foolish virgins will have no oil. And they will come and they will say to you, give me what you have. Give me that anointing. That's the oil. Give me that ability to heal. Give me that ability to do the works of God. I need you to do a work of God in my life. And the wise will say, not so, lest we don't have enough for ourselves. You see, there is a remnant. There is a body of wise virgins that are getting ready to continue and commence in the journey in the darkest hours that are going to have the light. And it reminds me of the vision of 1993, when in 1993 I was taken up into space and I looked out and I saw nothing but the black of the universe. And then I began to descend and I could make out our planet, and I continued to descend and I could make out the North American continent. I could see Florida, the little tail, and I came down into, and as I was descending, the earth was dark except for a little light here and a little light there. And they were like these little tiny lights that were spread out across from the East Coast to the West Coast. There were not many of them. They were a few and far between little lights. I landed somewhere in Boston. It was charcoal gray in the spiritual atmosphere, like Russia had taken over the United States. The major churches had been shut down. I heard a man walking and his echoing steps in the midnight season. He was terrified. He knocked on a door with light. The man of God stood in the door frame. He discerned that this man was a game player. He was not really serious about his walk with God. I went into the living room in the spirit. I saw about seven or eight people, one person laying on a couch, a golden flask of oil open, the effulgencing of that odor and that beauty, and there was music. So beautiful. The presence of God was rich in that living room. And the man of God at the front door knew if he let that other person in, that spirit would quench, or that man's heart would quench the spirit. It would defile it. So he was not permitted into the house. Well, he went to the next house when the door was closed to him where a light was on. And I'm sure that continued on and on. The vision ended. Well, that was in 1993. According to a report yesterday by Tyler Durden, a recent power grid failure in New York caused panic and even stoked the fear of an alien invasion. With so many dependent on the electrical power grid, it is important to be prepared for the worst. And this goes along with the wise virgins having their oil. Even President Donald Trump has taken it upon himself to sign an executive order declaring an electromagnetic pulse could be debilitating to the United States power grid. Far too many Americans won't know what to do when the inevitable finally happens, and things will get dire should we have to live without power for more than 1 week. And here is the executive order. It says this: it is the policy of the United States to prepare for the effects of EMPs through targeted approaches that coordinate whole of government activities and encourage private sector engagement, said the executive order released by the White House. So again, we're talking about preparing, preparation, preparation, preparation. You have to be ready to go. I believe in 1993, God showed me a genuine vision. I also believe that God showed me an open vision about nuclear bombs going off in major cities across this country on the same day. A lot of people have kind of raised an eyebrow to that, ridiculed it, mocked it, said, hey, that time of that kind of conversation is over. But I cannot let it go. As I saw this in an open vision, I believe these things are coming, that we are going to see war, nuclear war. We are also going to be spectators of an electromagnetic pulse. And at that time, I believe that's the night time that Jesus may have been referring to, at least one of those dark nights where the works of God will not be done except within the camp of the righteous. And that's where I'm going to sit here for just a little bit. I have my dear friend and brother calling all the way from Australia today. His name is Daniel Seckham. He's not unfamiliar to this radio broadcast. We're going to welcome him. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are today. Daniel Seckham, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, Pastor Vincent. It's a pleasure to be with you once again.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. I have to do something real quick. There's a call coming in from 605 that's been on the line waiting. Maybe this is urgent. Good morning, 605-212. How are you today? Okay, I'm gonna let that go, unless that's Ken and Kathy. Ken, Kathy, is that you? All right, so they were obviously, they just pressed one on the dial pad. Daniel, is it a busy day in the world today, and how are you doing?
Very well. Yeah, there's certainly a lot going on. It certainly doesn't make for boring times that we're living in, that's for sure.
No, Daniel, 315 people in Sri Lanka killed on Resurrection Sunday by Islamic terrorists. ISIS is now taking the credit or the blame for what has happened. And I know you have a lot to say about that, but whatever it is that you came on the airwaves with today, I want to give you that release time. Go ahead and share with our listeners and impart what is important for right now.
Well, if anything that the Sri Lankan Easter bombings has revealed to us, it's revealed the heart of the it's really revealed the true nature of the left's attitude towards Christians. When the New Zealand massacre took place, in which the so-called white nationalist executed or killed 50 people. I mean, there was national, international outcry. I mean, there was platitudes coming in from all over the world. There was, there was memes shared on Facebook and just constant. There was mourning and there was minutes of silence. And then there was even the Islamic call to prayer broadcast on the New Zealand national broadcasting television station. There was even a Islamic prayer that was said at the opening of New Zealand's parliament. There was the women were wearing headscarves in solidarity. It was then they moved to take away the firearms from law-abiding citizens. And then after that, there was, the crackdowns on social media where they now basically said that there would be prison terms for anyone caught with the video of the massacre. And even for those who have a copy of the perpetrator's manifesto. So it just gives you a bit of an idea of just how intense it was and how intense the outpouring was. There are even people here in Australia calling for Jacinta Ardern to become the Prime Minister of Australia. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. And then there are others calling for Jacinta Ardern for her to be a recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize. And then we have these bombings in Sri Lanka in which over 350 people have been killed. So that's 7 times the death toll of Christchurch. 7 times. And yet there is 1,000 times the silence of politicians and media heads and cultural figures all around the world. I mean, if anything, it just underscores that the left is that the bombing of the Sri Lankan Christians does not fit their narrative. Now, the bombing, the shooting in Christchurch was manna from heaven to them because it checked all their boxes. It was a so-called right-wing white nationalist. That's what we want to hear. That's what we want to hear, they say. And that's exactly what they harped on about. You never, despite the fact that the shooter was not right-wing, he was actually left-wing. He hated capitalism, hated conservatism, and he basically said that his political ideology best lined up with that of communist China. So It really is extraordinary what we are seeing here. We're seeing a double standard on a massive scale. So there is massive media attention if the shooter is a so-called white nationalist, but if it is Muslims doing it, killing Christians, then it's crickets that you hear in the newsrooms across America and across the world. Extraordinary double standards, but it really needs to emphasize the fact that the leftists, in other words, and leftists embody the spirit of this world. Leftists don't like Christians, to say it in very pleasant terms. Why? Because Jesus made it so clear in John chapter 3, light has come into the world, and those who are in darkness hate the light. It couldn't be any more clearer than that. And as our world is becoming increasingly more darker and increasingly more wicked, they hate Christians even more so. As George Orwell said, the further a society drifts away from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it.
Well, amen. It's good to hear that passion in your spirit, that fire, and we need to interpret that properly. When you talked about this hypocrisy, this blatant, glaring hypocrisy, I'm always reminded of Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5. O Assyrian, the rod of my anger and the staff in their hand is my indignation. I will send him against a hypocritical nation and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge, to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down in the mire of the streets. And, you know, Daniel and Ezekiel, the king of Babylon was given a furbished sword, a furbished sword. And this was in the days of his coming against the temple and against the people of God. The Assyrian was in Isaiah. The Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar was in Ezekiel. And in these last days, I remember John F. Kennedy once said that the sword of Damocles is hanging over the seat of power of all world rulers. And what it was referring to was a sword hanging by a horse's hair, and that the seats of power need to be very careful. And I wonder, in the book of Isaiah, that the weapon in their hand was God's indignation. There are weapons of mass destruction today that in the hand of the wrong, quote-unquote, people could bring a devastation. For example, this congressional report warned that an EMP attack on the East Coast would kill 90% of those in the area over the course of 1 year due to the lack of food, money, fuel, electricity, and medical care. Daniel, I'm sure a lot of people scoff at that, raise the eyebrow, but in fact, Americans largely are putting their survival in the hands of the government because they are not preparing for such an event. But an event like a detonation of a nuclear weapon is been revealed to us. Do we just ignore those types of things and say, oh, that's for the lunatic left and that's for the conspiracy theorists? Or are these weapons of mass destruction something that God could employ, will employ, against hypocritical nations that continue to blaspheme his holy name and to be useless concerning his purpose for creation?
Well, I believe it's just a matter of time. It's not just a question of if, it's really a question of when. So I think it's a foregone conclusion. You know, it was Stalin who once said that when we will hang the capitalists with the rope that they sell to us. In other words, when the capitalists sell us the rope, we will hang them with the rope that the capitalists sell us. In other words, America as a nation and for the West, from a larger point of view, benefited greatly from Christianity, because Christianity gives us freedom in all aspects of life, not just in freedom from sin and freedom from slavery, spiritual slavery, but it also gives us freedom of speech, freedom, academic freedom, and freedom of inquiry. And that being the case, gives us, hence why science always flourished within Christian societies. And with science came the invention of the splitting of the atom and blah, 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 and then the Manhattan Project, and before you know it, we have the invention of the nuclear bomb. Now, it's been safely within America's hands, but now it's been proliferated, and other nations have basically acquired it, whether it be from their own means or from stealing technology. But it's just a matter of time before dark actors, nefarious players, actually turn that weapon that was invented by the U.S. itself onto America. I don't think it's a matter of if, I think it's a matter of when. And I hate saying that, again, because I love America and I love Americans. You know, they are very close to my heart. But I believe that judgment is hanging over America. Exactly what you said, Pastor Vincent, with that Diocles' sword hanging by a horse's hair, I think is an apt description. And I believe that God has given America enough time to repent, but she has not listened. In fact, she has become more hardened in her heart. She has stiffened her neck, and as a result of that, there is no turning back from God's judgment. And some might say, you know, well, God, you know, he's relenting, he's forgiving, and he will give America time. Well, I think that time has been passed, and we need to keep in mind that there was a day when the doors of the ark were slammed shut. And I believe that the God's patience has come to an end. And some may ask, well, does that mean that God's judgment rained down on all of America? And I would say, I would answer that with a no. I don't believe that is the case. I believe there are parts of America that God will actually shield and shelter. And so we need to be aware of that. Other parts of America will bear the brunt of God's judgment. And I think it's interesting, Pastor Vincent, that you mentioned from that report that it was if an EMP hit the east coast of America. So it's funny because there are a number of different reports also confirming that that there will be catastrophic event coming upon the east coast of America, as the west coast of America, as also Miami in Florida. So it's not if we're talking about if. I think it is now we're talking about when. There are parts of America, in particularly the west coast and the northeast, that have become so brazen in their sin. And I'm reminded of when God said, when Jeremiah said that the Israelites have become so wicked that they have even forgotten how to blush. And I believe that is the case of where many in America, and not just in America, but also countries around the world that are also staring down God's judgment, including Great Britain, which was the once great Britain. But the United Kingdom is certainly so far down the path now that it has now become irreversible. And of course, other nations, including France and Belgium and Germany and other Western nations, including my own country, Australia, we have provoked the anger of God. And again, God, yes, God is merciful and God is loving. But here's the thing about God is that God is just as perfect in his wrath and in his judgment as he is in his love and in his mercy. And he's just as exact and perfect in his wrath and judgment as he is in his mercy and in his love. We need to remember that there is a whole counsel of God, that there is, we just can't focus on one attribute of God in focusing on his love and dismissing the aspects, other aspects of God's character, including his wrath and indignation and judgment. The same God that poured out wrath upon nations that we see in the Old Testament is the same God that we see today. That part of God's nature and character hasn't changed. If you want a refresher on that, read the letters that Jesus wrote to the seven churches, and you'll find the same God there. You'll find that Jesus is the same God that is prepared to pour out judgment. So we need to come before our God with fear and trembling and knowing that our God is a consuming fire. Yes, our God is also intimate in the sense that we can call him Abba. Abba, as in Daddy, as Jesus called his father Daddy. There is that intimacy, but there also needs to be counterbalanced with reverence and fear as well. For our God is a consuming fire. And we need to remember that there is no nation that provokes God to his face and gets away with it. God is a holy God, and he will take retribution. He will take revenge on nations that provoke him to his face.
Wow, well said, Daniel. And while you were talking, I was just looking briefly at this sentence. And when John F. Kennedy, the president of the United States of America, made this statement in this speech, he said it exactly like this. He said, "Today, every inhabitant of this planet must contemplate the day when this planet may no longer be habitable. Every man, woman, and child lives under a nuclear sword of Damocles, hanging by the slenderest of threads, capable of being cut at any moment by accident or miscalculation or by madness. The weapons of war must be abolished before they abolish us. Now, those are the words of the president of the United States, who was assassinated and killed. And this man knew something. And I believe that that indignation of God that you were just talking about, he puts that in the hand of a slayer. And we know that Ishmael, Daniel, is a wild man, created in his very DNA by the word of God, that he will be a wild man. Now, Daniel, speak into this if you can. When it comes to let me just bring one point out. When it comes to dealing with an organization like ISIS or Hezbollah, right now, ISIS has many networks, and they are spread out. They're not in one place. So we can't just send, like we did in Japan in the 1940s, a bomber over the island and blow everybody to smithereens with an atomic bomb, with a little boy and a fat boy. And ISIS is infiltrated societies around the world. Obviously, Sri Lanka, they took the credit for that. And we just know this is a reality. And so when you think about these weapons of mass destruction in the hands of an organization that and we're beginning to see the firecrackers, and I don't say that disrespectfully, but what happened in Sri Lanka with those bombs, they were massive and they were deadly, but they were firecrackers in comparison to the big bombs like nuclear detonation, suitcase nuclear weapons, atomic bombs, or some other kind of bombs that would create havoc that we have never dreamed. And you just kind of get the sense that this is kind of how do you attack something like that when it's so spread out, hidden, infiltrated, and a network underground movements? I guess you have to depend on your government. But if God wants them to prevail, who's going to stop them?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting when you read in Revelation 13, where it says that the beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. And one of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. There are many different interpretations on what that fatal wound is, but what it could be, and again, you need to be careful with apocalyptic texts, that we don't become too dogmatic on those on these things. But one interpretation could possibly be the fact that the fatal wound was the destruction of ISIS, Islamic State, in Syria and Iraq. The caliphate was brought to an end by the American forces a few months ago. But what we have seen happen is that the Islamic State has basically come alive, but in other parts of the world via its affiliates. So it's interesting how we see that the perpetrator behind the Sri Lanka Easter bombings pledged allegiance to Islamic State. And we are also seeing a very similar thing with affiliate organizations all over the world. See, we thought that we had crushed it. We thought we delivered the fatal wound, but instead we're seeing this thing come back to life in a global network from what we've seen with the Sri Lanka bombings. So, yeah, I mean, there is no doubt that what we are seeing happening at the moment, that Islam is God's method, or we could say instrument of judgment. Now, God, we have rejected God. The West has rejected God. Western civilization because of Christianity. You know, there are some who argue that that Western civilization represents two cities. It represents Jerusalem and Athens, where they say that it was Jerusalem that gave us religion and the concept of Imago Dei, created in the image of God. And then you have Athens, which gives us reason. that Jerusalem gave us religion and Athens gives us reason. But I still believe that Athens not so much needs to come into the real purpose and the success of the West. I believe it really comes down to Christianity, because you also get reason out of Christianity as well. So within Christianity comes all of the benefits for a flourishing society, and wherever Christianity goes, freedom flourishes and freedom prospers. So that being said, the West has completely gone full circle. It has used its freedom that Christianity has afforded it as in freedom to pursue sin. The freedom, the great freedom that Christianity has given to the West has used that freedom to pursue sin and rebellion. And as a result of that, they will go headlong into slavery. Jesus said that the soul that sins is a slave to sin. And the fruits of the West are going to find out very, very quickly that the freedom to sin is not freedom at all. It will end in slavery. And the spirit of rebellion against God really is the whole drive behind leftism. Leftism essentially is going back to the Garden of Eden, where Satan said to Eve that you will not surely die, for he knows that if you eat this, you will become like God. Leftism, if you break it down, it's when man becomes God. Man gets to call the shots. Man gets to decide who lives and who doesn't live. Man gets to define reality, gets to define what's good and what's evil, what's bad and good, what's, you know, even blurring the lines of male and female, even determining the fundamental aspects of human life. This is what leftism wants to do. It wants to redefine reality. The most basic aspects of reality, such as male and female, the leftists want to completely redefine. This is the suppression of truth, Pastor Vincent. You know, because if you live in a nation that with the foundation of Christianity, Christianity is self-evident truth. It's self-evident. It's self-apparent truth. Truth that doesn't need to have any ideology. It just is. It just exists. It always has been the way it is. You know, whereas leftism has to rely upon ideology, where it has to invent lies, to comes up with all these ridiculous lies that tries to redefine reality. This is all part of the suppression of truth, Pastor Vincent, that we see in Romans 1. Three times it says, therefore God gave them over to the lust of the flesh. God gave them over to do that which ought not to be done. Why did God hand them over? Because of the suppression of the truth. If you read the text in Romans 1, the reason why God gave them over is because of the suppression of truth, is because of the hardening of the heart, the rejection of God. And the whole spirit of leftism, the whole leftism in all cultures are equal, the whole mantra behind that, and the excesses of sin that go along with that, including child sacrifice and homosexuality and transgenderism and all the abominations of the earth, because of that, leftism is the precursor to God's wrath, and Islam is the instrument of God's wrath. That's really important to understand, because we are seeing those two that have arrived on the world stage in such a stunning way, like the forces of the left and Islam. The left and Islam are both basically dominating the national conversation, yet one of those is the precursor to God's judgment and the other is the instrument of God's judgment. And of course the left is completely clueless They are completely blind and arrogant in forcing their new moral code on the rest of society, pushing their idea of what's right and wrong, their idea of what's good and evil, on society, which is political correctness. Really, political correctness is essentially the new moral code for a society that has rejected God. And because the left are pushing this so hard, they are completely blinded to the fact that their own ideology is inviting in the very nemesis, the very thing that will bring about their own destruction. You know, we read in Revelation 17 that the beast will hate the prostitute and will bring her to her ruin, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. We're already witnessing this right now, Pastor Vincent, in exquisite detail. You know, the burning of the Notre Dame was not by accident. You know, the 700-year-old oak does not burn that easily. You know, and there was no electrical fault. You know, there is no doubt that this was actually a fire that was created on purpose, and I believe that Islam is behind it, just as they were behind the 1,000 other reports of churches being torched and burned as recorded throughout the year, throughout 2018. Over 800 churches across France were torched throughout 2018. And it's not just in France, but all over Western Europe and in Germany and Belgium. Churches are being torched. And not only that, we just found out yesterday, I believe. It says another fire intentionally set in the confessional of Notre Dame de Grace Church in France on Easter Sunday. So it's just church after church after church. There was another church in there was a cathedral where there was someone else who tried to burn down the church. But this is going to become more and more common. What does the Bible say? The beast will hate the prostitute. He will eat her flesh, bring her to her ruin, and burn her with fire. This is all part of it, Pastor Vincent. The beast hates the prostitute. Islam hates the West. Islam has been an enemy of the West for 1,400 years. It has waged a war of conquest against the West for 1,400 years, and we are now getting to a point where Islam has got the West in a chokehold, and there is no doubt that the West is bringing that Islam is bringing the West to her ruin, that Islam is eating the flesh of the West, and that Islam is burning her with fire.
You know, Daniel, this is where the American people wake up to the reality that patriotism is not enough to stay the tide of God's righteous judgment. I've been open to Revelation 17 for the last 7 or 8 minutes as you've been talking, and then you're referencing it. And here's what really strikes me about what is being said. Not only in Revelation 17:15 does it say, "And he said unto me, the waters which you saw, where the whore sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, shall make her desolate and naked, shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire." And then, verse 17, "For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled." That is a direct connection to Isaiah chapter 10, that God will call for the Assyrian. There's a weapon in his hand. He doesn't know it, but God has given them the authority to do it. And then afterwards, God will judge him, according to Isaiah 10. And in the like manner, it is God who is putting these thoughts into the hearts of Islam today. And patriotism is not going to be enough. We're still slaughtering babies, regardless of the movie industry. We're still marrying homosexuals. We're still spreading pornography. We're still defiant, proud, and blasphemous. And anybody that thinks it's, you know, everything is good because the economy is working needs to probably recheck that, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. You know, it is not make America great again. It is make America godly again. That really is the heart of it. You know, you cannot make America great again without making America godly again. You know, and here's the thing. You're absolutely right. It's not patriotism that's going to change America. It's not getting Americans to fall back in love with America again. That's not the key. Anything, we need to get back to the America's foundations, which is Christianity. We have to get back to that, because if America doesn't, America's going to be in a lot of trouble. You know, Alexis de Tocqueville wrote, he was a Frenchman who came to America to study why America was so great, and he basically wrote this in his diary. He said, "I sought for the key to the greatness and genius of America in her harbors, in her fertile fields and boundless forests, in her rich mines and vast world commerce, in her public school system and institutions of learning. I sought for it in her Democratic Congress and in her matchless Constitution. But it was not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power." It cannot be understated any more than that. It's because of America's founding on Christianity. You know, de Tocqueville goes on to say, America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. But that goodness comes from God. In Proverbs, it says, righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to many people. We have to remember that. You know, it is the righteousness that exalts a nation. It is righteousness that will make America great again. Only when America comes back to God in repentance and godly sorrow will she ever again reclaim God's favor and God's blessing upon the nation. That is so important. And if America gets a hold of that, if America seeks after God with humility and humbles herself before the Lord, then we would then begin to see true healing and a true recovery within America.
Well, amen to that, Daniel. And as you're talking, I believe the Spirit of the Lord is crying out to the people that are listening to this radio broadcast right now. You need to hear these very important words from the Holy Spirit right now. God is saying, it's one soul at a time, that you are valuable to the Lord as your mind is surrendered to His will, that you can live on this earth as a valuable asset of the kingdom of God. That it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that the people had purged themselves and that they might become useful to the Lord. Yesterday, we were preaching out of Romans chapter 1 as well, Daniel, and we talked about the people that were taking positions of power within our nation, how God had turned them over to a reprobate mind because of their conduct, and that word reprobate meant useless, worthless. And that's what it was really saying, that there's no individual that's going to be practicing homosexuality or lesbianism or supporting abortion and these things that are ever going to be useful to the kingdom of God, to the mind and will and purpose of God within His kingdom. Only a Christian that has been born again and has the mind of Christ and the will of God and the purpose of God in their heart could be useful to the Lord. So don't think for a moment out there today that your life is not meaningful and valuable just because you're watching the news and they're all those people up there in the upper echelons of government. No, you are connected directly to the government of God, and the Spirit of God is within you, and eternity is within you, which is a massive undertaking of thought and analytics, if you will, to understand what the heck is eternal life all about. Daniel, we are God's people. He has given us the ability to become the sons of God because we believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that makes God's people valuable and we need to become useful so that our minds and our existence does not crumble into nothingness. We need to be re-energized by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, by resurrection power. We need to arise and shine, for our light has come. And the glory of the Lord is wanting to rise within a people in this hour to demonstrate the power of his kingdom in the face of all this darkness that is pervasive around the world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so you're out there today. It is an imperative. It is an imperative for you to hear the word of God. You are valuable to the Lord, of more valuable than many sparrows, And yet we're living in this time where the darkness is coming, the night is coming, where no man will be able to work. And so apply ourselves today to be useful to the Lord, to minister the grace and the gospel of Yeshua, of Jesus Christ, to the ends of the earth, everywhere we go. Be useful. And don't think for one second that your personal one-on-one conversation with your neighbor is a useless thing. In the economy of God, when one person repents, all the angels of heaven rejoice. Daniel, these are aggressive days. These are important moments. These are vital days. And we need to choose what side of the day we're going to be on. We cannot afford to be lukewarm, can we?
Absolutely. The very first thing, when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, when is all this going to happen? And what are the signs of your return? And Jesus said, the very first thing he said was, watch out that nobody deceives you. Watch out that nobody deceives you. In other words, there is going to be so much deception, so many false teachers, so much false prophets in these last days that it will be very, very difficult to be able to discern what is true and what is false. Because there is just so much false things that are being taught. And, you know, and one of the great things that I believe will catch people off guard in these last days is the idea that people are going to avoid suffering. You know, there are many Christians today that think, well, that this kind of suffering that we're seeing happening in the Middle East, that we're seeing happening in Sri Lanka, that we're seeing happening in China, that won't happen to us. We're going to be gone before that kind of suffering gets to us. And I think that is probably one of the most unfortunate and very disconcerting and troubling and grievous things that I believe that is can be said in the body of Christ today. I think the Western Church is going to be caught off guard, that the Western Church is really going to be disillusioned in many ways when great persecution. You know, I remember reading in the Alexander Solzhenitsyn's book, The Gulag Archipelago, sorry, I find that hard to pronounce, but in the first chapter it says that how was it that we got to the point when we find ourselves being dragged from our beds at 3 a.m. in the morning? He says it's because we did not love freedom enough. We did not love freedom enough. And I just thought, wow. You know, and here's the thing, if it can happen to Russia, if the Bolsheviks could take power in a so-called Christian Russia, and if Hitler can rise to power in a so-called Christian Germany, we're talking about the Germany of Karl Barth, the Germany of Martin Luther, you know, the Germany of all the great famous theologians. If Hitler can come to power in that Christian nation, then do not fool yourself, do not kid yourself to think that it will not happen in America. I mean, the Democrat Party has become so utterly corrupted. It has become so utterly compromised that we are now dealing with people who are absolute radicals in their political views. We're talking, you know, these presidential nominees from the Democrats are openly talking about abolishing the Electoral College. They are openly talking about executive orders to take away guns. They are talking about these radical measures, to impinge on freedom of religion. In fact, I think Pete, I can't pronounce his surname, Buttigieg. I mean, he basically said that he will force Christian bakers to create gay wedding cakes, wedding cakes for homosexual marriages. In other words, he will crush religious freedom. And, there are others who will crush the Second Amendment. So you need to understand that America is just a hand's breadth away from losing your freedom and losing the freedoms that you have enjoyed for so long. The enemy is at the gate. In fact, the enemy is inside the gates. And it's just a matter of time before a Democrat gets into power and all the freedoms that you have enjoyed will be gone. And they will basically undo every single one of Donald Trump's executive orders, every single one of Donald Trump's initiatives, every single one of Donald Trump's political promises will be basically reversed and wound back, and America will be in a far worse state than before Trump ever came to power. I'm telling you, like, you thought the IRS scandal was bad, in which the IRS targeted conservatives and Christians. It's going to be far, far worse than that. And this is why we need to fight as much as we possibly can and do what we can in being Christians and being salt and light in the political process. Some Christians might think it's strange for Christians to get involved with politics. Listen, politics is not a dirty word. You know, in fact, the Americans' founding fathers were kingdom of God first, and they were politics second. They understood that they had a responsibility to get involved with politics because the gospel encapsulates all of society, which includes politics. So this is what is at stake here. We must remember that when it comes to freedom, you have to fight for it. This is what Ronald Reagan said. He said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day, we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States when men were free.
My God. Well, this is the kind of information that everyone, we are becoming more intelligent, we're becoming more aware from the Spirit of God as to what we're looking at. As you're talking, Daniel, as you're talking, we have just a few minutes left in our broadcast today. This impression comes to mind. We've talked a lot today about the Islamic reality, the Muslim reality, that God would release a people to do some devastating things against people that have sinned devastatingly against him. And what I'm seeing and what we need to be careful of, and by the way, before I get into that, I need to give two praise reports. Before I say what I want to say here, two praise reports. Our dear friend Carolyn Buss, right here in Bella Vista, had been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. I just got a text while we were sitting here today that she is coming through with a praise report. She's got a few more hoops to get through, but the praise report is that there's no fluid in the stomach as of last visit to Washington Regional Hospital. Her digestive system is greatly improved. Skin irritations are almost totally gone. Blood in the nose has been disappearing. Leg and foot swelling has gone down immensely. Feeling much stronger, drinking more fluids, eating well. Most thankful to everybody that's been supporting her. So there's a few other things. She needs to have some pricking with the needle. She's praying for the right nurse to be able to do that perfectly for her body's sake. But here we had a sister that was in a crisis, and God is bringing her through because of all of the prayers and support that are going that, and the doctors and the hospitals being used. And our dear brother Sean, by the way, who fell the other day and broke his hip, has been taken to the hospital where he met a godly doctor who prayed over him, and they prayed over the doctor, and there was a huge connection there. And Sean, the surgery was so good. I was talking with Sean yesterday in the hospital, and they had put a pin in there with two screws, and he said he had some screws loose and stuff like that. So he was joking around. He's feeling better. He'll be going home today. His mother, Carmen, and father, Michael, will be taking him home and getting him back into some exercises, getting it up. And you know what we know?
Praise God.
Is that all things work together for good for those that love God. Now, Daniel, having said that, thank God for hospitals. Thank God for the beauty of life. Thank God for the enjoyment of life. But I would caution, with everything we've talked about today, for people to be aware of hospitals, malls, universities, even churches, because, and even in this summertime that's coming, beware of the summer tourist landmarks, because it's possible that a summer of terror is at the door. We're already witnessing an outbreak of measles in Los Angeles. This broke my heart. I mean, Los Angeles, public health officials in Los Angeles have declared a measles outbreak in the county, making it the latest metropolitan area to be hit by the illness and part of a national surge in cases rapidly approaching record numbers. And then, of course, in Georgia, there is a hepatitis A outbreak that is moving forward. And what we need to be watchful of is a outbreak of terrorism this summer. This is what we've been saying, that April would come. And we saw violence. We see it in different ways. We're still in the month of April. Summer is ahead of us. I believe that we need to be cautious of a violent outbreak of terrorism or plagues in this country in different places. Daniel, I'm going to give you the final words before we get off the air today.
Oh, my gosh. What can I say? Well, if anything, I just want to say that we need to keep it relational. We need to keep it personal with the Lord. We need to ensure that we keep the basics in check. But this is the thing, as we get into these last days, because things become heightened, things become much more intense. But in that intensity, and in the flurry and in the chaos, we need to maintain a consistency of our devotional time with the Lord. And that's especially important, because in these last days, we need to be hearing from the Lord with much more clarity, with much more preciseness. You know, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." That is so, so, so important. And in the parable of the 10 virgins, you know, there were five of them. They were prepared. They listened to their master. They knew that they had to wait, and they knew that the night was going to be long, and they had prepared. I mean, if anything that comes out of what we've talked about tonight, it's really, we need to place so much emphasis on preparing. And I said earlier that there are so many Christians, that, particularly in America, that don't believe that they'll ever have to suffer. I think that's probably one of the greatest lies, the greatest deceptions that's ever been perpetrated on the church. And a lot of it comes down to this whole left behind theology, which I think is incorrect. I think, because you never find it. Jesus never taught on that. He never taught that that there would be a secret coming and then a public coming. He did not mention that at all. You know, Jesus will appear publicly and every eye will see him, and he will send his angels to gather the elect. That is how it is going to take place, and we need to be prepared for that. We need to prepare to suffer, and what that may be, but we also know that God will also protect his people in these last days. There are Goshens all over the world. There are areas and pockets of refuge where God is going to protect his people in these last days. And we need to sensitize ourselves to the Spirit and hear his voice and ask that he will protect us in these last days.
Amen. Daniel Seckham, well said. Way to wrap it up. We've got to run right now. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be heading to KIRM Radio. We're going to be broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio in 1 hour, and I'll send the reports out. Daniel, thank you once again, as always, for laying forth that information. God bless your heart. We'll talk again real soon. Right now on the Omega Radio Network, Patricia Joy Xavier is hosting a roundtable discussion. We'll see you in about an hour right here on Blog Talk Radio and on KIRM Radio AM/FM. Until then, Shalom and God bless.